want you to take your Bibles, if you would, open them up to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. We're going to finish up our study of the kings tonight. And then, as I mentioned, next week is Vacation Bible School. And the week after that, we're going to start a study of the book of Mark, second book of the New Testament. Those of you that were here last week, remember that we talked about Josiah. And I pointed out to you that he was a good king, but he came from bad stock. His grandfather Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. His father Ammon was a wicked king. And then Josiah comes on the scene, and the Bible says that he walks in the ways of his father David. He walked in the ways of the Lord, that he deviated, or declined, the word is the Bible used. He declined neither to the right or to the left. That he destroyed the high places, the groves and the altars where they worshiped the false gods. He rebuilt the temple, repaired the temple. And then we talked about his relationship to the Bible, how he listened to it and how he reacted to it and how he made a covenant to obey it. And he led his people in a covenant to obey it. We talked about the Passover that he kept. And we talk about the one thing in his life, at least that the things that are recorded in the Bible, where he apparently didn't obey God. It's when this king of Egypt, King Necho, came on a mission from God to fight against another people. And Josiah went out to fight with him. And the king of Egypt said, "I didn't come to fight with you. Don't meddle in God's business." And Josiah didn't listen to him. He went into that battle. He disguised himself and went into the battle. And I don't know if he was disguising himself from the king of Egypt or thought he'd disguise himself from God. But he disguised himself, went into battle, and was killed in that battle. And so he was a good king. Bad stock. Good king. I mean, his whole life, except for that little event at the end, was pleasing to God, walked in the ways of God. And yet tonight we're going to read about four of his sons, or let's see, it'd be three of his sons and his grandson, that ruled after him that were all bad. Every single one of them was bad. And these four kings are going to lead Judah in its final days, and the last king is going to be going to lead it into Babylonian captivity. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the Bible says, verse 1, "Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem." Now, it doesn't say it here, but if you go over to 2 Kings, you don't need to turn to it, just let me read it to you. It says in 2 Kings chapter 23 that Jehoahaz did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, came from a good dad, had a good example. And yet when he reigned, and he only reigned for 3 months, in that 3 months he did enough bad that God recorded, as he recorded his story in the book of 2 Kings, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I'll just point out, it doesn't take long to mess things up. He had a good king, Josiah, that ruled for, and I can't remember how long, but for a number of years, 20-some years, I think. And then his son goes in there, and in 3 months, turns everything around and does evil in the sight of the Lord. And again, it just says to me that we need to be consistent in our testimonies. We need to just stay in that straight and narrow way and be like Josiah. Don't decline either to the left or to the right. Stay straight on. Stay in the Word of God. Be obedient to Him. And then it says in verse 3, "And the king of Egypt," who, by the way, was Necho, who came up and rebuked Josiah and said, "Don't meddle in God's business. Just stay out of it." This is the same king. "Put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold." He dethroned him. He took him out of power. And I'll just go ahead and read verse 4. "And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother," the brother of Jehoahaz, "king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt." And so he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. the king and did evil in the sight of the Lord in those 3 months. And the king of Egypt came and put his brother in charge in Jerusalem and took him captive back to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. So again, two boys from a good dad, both of them ignored the example of their father. And by the way, I know I've known people that have talked to me and they've said, "Preacher, I've tried to do everything as far as raising my kids that God has told me to do. I've kept them in church. I've read them the Bible. I've tried to teach them the difference between right and wrong." And they say they just didn't turn out the way I expected. They didn't stay close to God. And you cannot control how your children turn out. You can't. You just need to make sure that while they're still under your influence, you do all you can to influence them for Christ. I know sometimes, and you've heard me say, you know, but that old saying that says, boy, you know, when your kids get to be teenagers, you put them in a box with a hole in the end of it, and then when they get up to about 19, you cover up the hole. And we can't do that. I mean, they got to make their own decisions, and they will make their own decisions. We just need to make sure that we keep them out of the world as much as we can, and we get as much of the Bible and as much of God as we can into them while they're young and while they'll listen to us. And by the way, now, I'll say to those of you that have older children, don't give up on them. I mean, that's a responsibility. You never stop being their mom. You never stop being their dad. You talk to them about God every chance you get. You talk to them about Jesus every chance you get. So Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. So again, here's these two boys, evil in the sight of the Lord, and God uses two different kings, the king of Egypt and the king of Babylon, to come and remove them from leading his people. And even though this is in the late stages of the kingdom of Judah, even though God had pronounced judgment on his people as a result of what Manasseh did, God was still giving his people a chance to repent. God was still giving his people a chance to turn to him. And I'm glad we got a God that keeps coming after us up until the very end. He does not give up on us. He does not give up on people that don't know Christ. That's why the Bible talks about that phrase that's in, I think it's in the book of Revelation, I may be wrong, where it talks about snatching those out of the fire. Is that in the book of Revelation, Brother Clint, do you remember? Remember which book it's in? Not sure. I'm not sure either. I can't remember. But it talks about snatching those out of the fire. I mean, that are feeling the fire of hell and talking to them about Jesus and getting them saved and keep them out of that fire. So God was still trying to deal with his people. What's the matter? Do you know where it is? Jude 23. Okay, thank you. So it's in Jude. It's almost in Revelation. Isn't it nice to have a college graduate in the congregation? Helps dad. all right. So Nebuchadnezzar came, carries him to Babylon. Now also in verse 7, also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar is starting to plunder the temple. He's starting to take the things that God ordained for the temple back to Babylon. Now the rest of the acts, verse 8, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. So he's carried away to Babylon, and his son, Jehoiakim, began to reign. Now notice verse 9. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now just think about that. And again, you say, "Preacher, don't you think he had advisors that helped him rule? I mean, a little 8-year-old boy, how could he rule a kingdom. Yeah, I think he had advisors to help him. But, I mean, I believe the testimony there was about him personally, where it says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. A little 8-year-old boy following the example of his father, doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, verse 10, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. And so you have two sons, two grandsons of Josiah. Let me just go ahead and read verse 11 and 12. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. So, again, two sons, two grandsons, all four of them, from a good king, from a good dad, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God brought his punishment on the first three by having them carried away into foreign lands. And we're going to see in just a second that he did the same thing to Zedekiah. Now, I will tell you that Zedekiah is the king that's talked about in the book of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah is pleading with the king, is advising the king, is talking to the king about what God said, it's this king Zedekiah that reigned the last 11 years in Jerusalem before they were carried away captive. And again, I want you to notice in verse 12, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. This king had a direct contact with God through Jeremiah. You go back and you read in the book of Jeremiah, and this king went to Jeremiah on a couple different occasions, and I preached on it not too long ago. He said, "Is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah, have you heard anything from God?" And Jeremiah said, "Yes, I have." He said, "This city's going to be destroyed. You're going to pay for your sin. You need to repent and turn back to God." And even when Jeremiah gave him advice as to what to do, the city was about to be taken. They were surrounded. And Jeremiah told the king, he said, "Look, you need to go out and surrender. You just need to go out and surrender, and God will spare you." Instead of going out and surrender, Zedekiah tried to sneak out at night when the city, just the night before the city was about to fall, or as it was falling, and the king of Babylon caught him. And I'll tell you what he did to him in just a second. Look at verse 13. "And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel." You go back and read in 2 Kings again, and it says this, that Nebuchadnezzar came, and for three years, Jehoiakim was a servant of his. He submitted himself to Nebuchadnezzar. But then Zedekiah rebelled against him, and that was the first 2 years of his reign, first 2 years of his reign, and for 9 years he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And notice what verse 13 it says. Nebuchadnezzar, when he put him in power, said, "Look, I want you to swear by your God that you'll be loyal to me, that you won't turn against me. I want you to swear by your God that you will serve me." And Zedekiah did that, but then after 2 years, it says he didn't listen to God as Jeremiah spoke to him. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart. In other words, he got stubborn. And he said, "Hey, Jeremiah, you might as well quit talking to me. I'm not going to listen to you anyway. I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to chart my own course. I'm not going to listen to you." And he didn't turn back to the Lord his God. Now, look at verse 14. "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. Even in the midst of abominations, God sent his messengers, his prophets, because he had compassion on his people. And he begged his people, just listen to me. Listen to me. Verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. What tragic words those are. Till there was no remedy. God sent his prophets, his messengers, said, look, turn back to me. I have compassion on you. I'll forgive you. I'll bless you. But you heard what they did to the messengers of God. They despised his word. And God's wrath, which is a holy wrath, a justified wrath, came because the people passed the point. They crossed that line where God says, there's nothing else I can do. You won't listen to me. I can't help you. I can't have compassion. There is no remedy. Verse 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and brake down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now, I'm going to make my points in just a second here. You go over to the book of Jeremiah, and you read what Nebuchadnezzar did when he took Zedekiah back to Babylon. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 39. He killed his sons before his eyes. In other words, he brought his boys in and made Zedekiah watch as he killed his sons. Then that he watched as he slew all the nobles in the kingdom, all the people that ruled with him. He had to watch as Nebuchadnezzar killed all them. Then he put out Zedekiah's eyes, poked his eyes out. He bound him with chains and threw him in jail. The punishment of God. Now, let me just make the application. The same thing is true in the life of Zedekiah, is true in our life today. We, just like he had the words of God from the mouth of God through Jeremiah, we have the words of God from the mouth of God right here in this book. Don't think Zedekiah had any advantage over us. Oh, yeah, he had Jeremiah there, and Jeremiah was telling him exactly what God said. We have exactly what God said to us right here in this book. If we do the same thing that Zedekiah did and ignore what God says to us. And again, God gave us this book so we know how to live. God gave us this book. He wants us to obey it. I like the fact that Jameson picks out that song, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And yet, we as Christians, and we again, I'm not talking about people that ignore it altogether. I'm talking about people that treat it like a smorgasbord. I'll pick out what I like, and what I don't like, I'll just leave there. And what we're doing is just like Zedekiah. God has given us this book, and when he speaks to us from this book, it's the whole counsel of God. It's not the ones we like, well, I'll take this and this and this, but I don't like this and this and this, so I'll just ignore them. I'll ignore them. That's exactly what Zedekiah did. And here's what happens when we begin to ignore the Word of God. You say, oh, but preacher, I read the Bible, I listen to it, and 90% of it I agree with and I obey. Well, that's wonderful. But the 10% that God speaks to you about, that you don't obey, you are in effect ignoring what God says. And here's what happens when we begin to ignore the word of God. We do exactly what happens to us is exactly what Zedekiah did. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart. Because the Holy Spirit keeps coming after us and says, look, this part of the Bible is for you. I'm bringing it to your attention because God wants you to have it. And we say, I don't like that part, so I'm not going to listen. And as the Holy Spirit keeps nipping at us, here's what, we get a hard neck and we get a hard heart. We get stubborn. We say, oh no, you can keep talking to me all you want. I'm not going to give in on this point. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to just do like Zedekiah. I'm going to take my own counsel. And by the way, I'm not mad at anybody tonight, okay? You're all looking like, oh, the preacher's really? I'm not mad at anybody tonight. I'm just, you know, when we started this study, I told you I was going to say, here's what we can learn from these guys, from these kings. So don't look so serious at me tonight. I'm just sort of preaching and teaching at the same time. But we get stubborn. And it may be in 5% of what the Holy Spirit talks to us about, but he keeps coming back. And if we take the position, I don't like that piece of the Bible, I'm just going to forget about it, I'm going to ignore it, that's exactly the place that the Holy Spirit will keep coming back. He won't keep coming back to this 90% that we're obeying. He wants our total obedience, so he keep coming back to the 5 or 10% that we try to ignore, that we want to set our own course and chart our own course and make our own decisions in that area of our life. That's the area he'll keep coming back and coming back. And if we're not careful, we'll get stubborn and we'll harden our neck and we'll harden our heart. And then God has no other choice but to say, when your children were little and you were punishing about something, you had to break their will. I can't remember how many times my dad said that to me. I'm going to keep spanking you till your will is broken. I said, okay, it's broke. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where it is. But it's broke, Dad. You don't have to keep going. But he could tell when it was and when it wasn't. But that's what God says. Until your will is broken in this area that you won't give to me, I'm going to punish you. And invariably, if we get stubborn and we won't give to the Holy Spirit, the same thing will happen to us as happened to Zedekiah. It will begin to influence those around us. It'll go to our kids. It'll go to our spouse. It'll go to our parents. It'll go to those that see what's happening in our life, that we're being stubborn with God. And if we're not careful, my dad didn't spank me because he got mad at me. He didn't spank me because he didn't like me. He spanked me because he loved me. He wanted me to learn to be obedient. And that's exactly why God does it to us. He doesn't get mad at us. It's not the fact that he doesn't like us. He loves us. And even though we may be saying, hey, I believe the Bible and I'm obedient 90% of the stuff, but God, I just don't like this piece over here. Just leave me alone on this piece. That's exactly the piece that'll come after us. He said, no, I want all of you. I want your obedience on all of it. And so he comes after us on that particular piece, that piece that we choose to ignore, not by accident, but on purpose. On purpose. He said, I got to get your attention. Because I want all. Okay, I went a couple minutes over. Anybody have any questions or comments?